Integrated.
What do you mean?
Too many of us struggle to integrate our faith into our lives.
Is it both?
When the head is full, but the heart is empty, the soul becomes cold and lifeless.
So it's both, together.
This is the integration where faith finds its true power.
Oh, now I get it.
Welcome to Integrated, where theology and life come together. And now your host, all the way from Sharpsburg, Georgia, this is Dr. John Kreutz.
Welcome to Integrated. Today we want to talk about heaven, but before we do, let me remind you to give us a rating and review on the podcast app that you use. And maybe share this episode with a friend that you think might need to be thinking about heaven. Isn't it good to think about heaven? I was talking to my associate pastor, and he was reminding me of a friend who recommended that when somebody is about to die, a Christian is about to die, if you have the opportunity to read a good book with him on heaven, what a great thing that is. That's a glorious thing. And they might not feel well. They might know that the days on earth are coming to an end and filling their heart and mind with thoughts of heaven. How great is that? Wonderful truth. You can maybe even Randy Alcorn's book on heaven. Now, there's a little bit of speculation in that book, but he tells us when he's just using sanctified imagination, but it's based on the Bible and what the Bible does teach us about heaven. Well, one way that we learn our theology is by examining the pictures that the Bible represents different theological truth in those categories. So we've been considering different areas of theology and some of the pictures the Bible has for us. Does the Bible have pictures of heaven? It does. And so if you just imagine you've got a big picture book and you keep turning the page with these recent series of episodes that we've been doing, then you come to a new page and a new chapter, and this chapter is on heaven. And the first picture we find is a dwelling place, which is kind of an interesting thing. You know, in the King James, I think it is, where it uses the word mansion. So many old preachers used to talk about heaven, and so many old gospel songs talk about our mansion in the sky. But that comes from a word that the ESV translates as a house. And it puts it like this in John chapter 14, beginning with verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I'm going." So this reference here, this translation for house, I think the New American Standard had dwelling place. The King James had mansion, but it's a place. And so if we think of it as not that we each get a mansion in the sky, but I think that the big takeaway for us is this is the Lord's house, and this is where he's going to dwell, and we are going to dwell with him. That's a wonderful thing. You know, there's lots of rooms. I don't need a mansion. Give me a room. Give me the mop closet, right? In the Father's house, and that we get to be there and be part of it with him. And what a sweet word of assurance. In fact, there was a couple of sweet words of assurance right at the very beginning where Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled." Let not your hearts be troubled. Of course, he's talking to the disciples in the upper room, basically right on the eve of the cross. And so this is, it's about to get real for the disciples. They know it's coming. They have a sense of dread, I'm sure. But Jesus assures them it's going to be okay. And I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. And I'm going to come again and will take you to myself. I mean, isn't that the best part of heaven? Getting to be with Jesus and not just to be a temporary vacation spot, but a place where you get to be forever with the Lord. How great is that? I like that picture. That's great. That gives me encouragement for the next picture as we turn the page in our theology picture book. The next page looks blank. It looks blank. Well, why would we have a blank page when we're supposed to be thinking about heaven? That doesn't seem very encouraging or good. Well, the blank page represents all of the things that are not on the page. What do you mean, not on the page? Revelation 21, verse 4 says, "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have been passed away," or have passed away. So this page could have had tears on it, but they're gone. This page could have had pain on it, but it's gone. This page could have had death on it, but it's gone, because in heaven, there will be none of the above. We drop down to verse 27 of Revelation 21, and it says, "But nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." So there's another thing that's not there in heaven. There's no more detestable things. So on that page, there could have been detestable things, but not in heaven, because this is a page about heaven. All of those things are gone. Then in Revelation chapter 22, verse 5, it says, "And night shall be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever." Wonderful. So no more night. It's gone. Yeah, that picture could have been of the night, but nope, we're in heaven now. And so that picture is blank. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, it talks about our inheritance that's going to be kept in heaven for us. And it says, "To an inheritance." Let me just go back, because this passage is so good. Starting in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." That's such a great section. So on our page, it could say perishable, but nope, our inheritance is imperishable. It could say defiled. Nope, in heaven, it's going to be undefiled. Well, maybe it'll fade. Nope, it's unfading, our inheritance. So a blank page is very, very appropriate. There's Ted Donnelly wrote a great book called The Biblical Doctrine of Heaven and Hell. And in this book, he talked about how heaven is frequently spoken of in negative terms. And it's perfectly appropriate to communicate that it's wonderful beyond description. So I'm kind of picturing this negativity, the absence of these things, with a blank page in our theology picture book. He described it as like falling in love. And, you know, I'm falling in love. It communicates to parents amazing things. There's no one like her. She's indescribable. And your parents understand what you mean when you say things like that, but it would be very hard for them to identify the young woman if she went missing, which is a funny way to put it, isn't it? Because you're just speaking in negative terms. So the Bible has a lot to say about heaven, but some of the things are so wonderful that the authors of Scripture, inspired by the Holy Spirit, just speak of them in negative terms. How great is the place going to be? You're not going to have any tears at all. So this is going to be our dwelling place. We're going to be with the Lord Jesus, and we are not going to have any more tears. It is going to be spectacular. No more pain. Our inheritance will not be going away. You're like, I'm not sure. I feel like I mess it up so many times. Yeah, that's why it's kept in heaven for you. And it's being protected by God and his power. Because absolutely, if he had given it to you or me ahead of time, we would have messed the whole thing up. But this thing is not going to fade away, not going to be defiled, not going to be contaminated by anything that we do or say or think. It is not going to perish. It is going to be just like the Lord has for us. It is incredible. It's glorious to think about heaven. It gives us hope. It gives us encouragement. I hope you're not being discouraged today. I don't know when you're going to go to heaven if you're trusting in Jesus, but you can know for sure that you will be. And won't that be wonderful? It should fill our hearts with joy. Really, the Bible doesn't tell us about heaven in order to help us make better charts about what we think it's going to be like. The Bible tells us about heaven to change the way that we live now, which is what we strive to do on Integrated. We have to take a break, but when we come back, there are more pictures in the Bible. We won't just have a blank page. And so we will consider more about what the Bible teaches about heaven and then what we should do about it.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Kratz in just a moment. He's teaching about heaven using negative description. This approach to heaven, it challenges our expectations of eternal life, doesn't it? Because we want detailed descriptions and blueprints and all this kind of stuff. And roads paved in gold, but really, Scripture gives us promises that darkness and disappointment just won't exist. That should be enough, but we've been trained to demand specifics for the things that we desire. What Dr. Kratz is doing today is the kind of thing that you're going to get from every single one of our fellows every single week on their podcasts and all of the content that they're producing, which is available on Fortis Plus. Fortis Plus is available to you right now to download absolutely free of charge. You can get it in the App Store where you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or you can go to fortisplus.org and listen. It is absolutely free. It doesn't cost you anything, and it's full of hundreds, maybe even thousands of hours of audio and video content. You can download it, you can view and watch and listen into all of the things that are available there, and you're never going to be asked to give us a credit card or anything like that, because you're never going to be charged for any of the content that we're producing, because it's free. And the reason that it's free is because of our gospel partners. These are men and women just like you who believe in the mission of Fortis Institute so much that they say, hey, look, I want more people to hear this. I want more people in more places all over the world to hear this. So they link arms with us and they say, hey, how can I help? And what you can do is become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. That helps us more than anything else. That helps us by recruiting more fellows to join us and by giving our current fellows the ability to produce more content, and we distribute it to more places all over the world. Your help and your partnership means more than you realize. You can find out what it looks like in your life to join us as a gospel partner right now by going to fortisinstitute.org. But listen, that's only if you're giving to your local church. If you're not already faithfully giving to your local church, we do not want you to give to our ministry. You don't hear that a lot, but that is the truth. Your first priority is your local church. So you got to get that right before you start giving to other ministries. Give to your local church, then look at what it would look like in your life to join us. And you can do that at fortisinstitute.org. All right, now let's get back to Dr. John Kratz. This is Integrated. Welcome back to Integrated.
It has to go from a theory, a concept, or even a theology. It has to move our hearts.
And now back to your host, Dr. John Kratz.
Welcome back. Today on Integrated, we are talking about heaven and specifically looking at pictures the Bible has given to us to help us learn more about heaven and to change the way that we live right now. So let's turn the page in our theology picture book. And what we find in this next page is a city full of jewels. A city full of jewels. You know, when the Bible describes heaven, there is a lot of jeweled imagery that is used. Sea of glass, gates of pearl, crowns. streets of gold. Let's start in Revelation chapter 4, verse 4. That's a good place. And it says, around the throne were 24 thrones, and seated on the thrones were 24 elders clothed in white garments with golden crowns on their heads. Revelation chapter 15, verse 2 says, And I saw what appeared to be a sea of glass mingled with fire, and also those who had conquered the beast and its image and the number of his name standing beside the sea of glass with harps of God in their hands. All right. Wow. A sea of glass, thrones, golden crowns, all kinds of good things. Revelation 21:21. Wow. If you start in verse 18, we get all these descriptions of the walls, and that's also filled with different kinds of jewels and the foundations of jasper and sapphire and agate and emerald and all of those things. But the 12 gates themselves in verse 21 were made of 12 pearls, each of the gates made of a single pearl. And the streets of the city was pure gold, transparent as glass. Wow, that's really wonderful. So what do you think when you think about all these jewels everywhere? I mean, is it just like a pirate cave that's filled with all of the stolen booty from around the world that they've captured and hidden away? No, I don't think that. Ted Donnelly says that this is vivid poetic metaphors for reality, which is indestructible, gleaming, incalculably precious. I guess we'll be able to talk in heaven. He said, if it's literal, it could seem cold and unnatural and hard. But if it's metaphorical, it's just designed to increase our wonder at the substance beyond the symbolism. Well, one thing about it, whether it's, you know, literal jewels everywhere, or if it just appears that way, you and I will not be disappointed. I always love to come back to that. It will be just fine. There will be no complaints, right? That's another thing that we can put on our blank page. There'll be no complaining in heaven because there'll be no sin, because we will be transformed and glorified like our holy Lord. I've heard one pastor said he thinks that all of the jewelry, all of the jewels will be reflecting the glory of God bouncing around on that. Just like if you see maybe a diamond ring and the light hits it just right, it sparkles in really neat ways. Well, in the same way, all of the elements of heaven are going to be bouncing around, except the light is going to be the very glory of God. So how amazing will that be? I think very amazing. Okay, how about another picture? And now we've got a giant flying city on the next page. That's amazing. What is that like? Well, in Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 3, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. Wonderful. The holy city, New Jerusalem. It's the perfect place for God to dwell with us. I mean, one of our first pictures was a big house, a dwelling place. And we learned that the Lord Jesus is preparing rooms for us in this place. And now we see it envisioned in Revelation as the city of New Jerusalem coming down from heaven to earth, that we might have heaven on earth. It's incredible. A.A. Hokama, the theologian, said, since where God dwells, there heaven is, we conclude that in the life to come, heaven and earth will no longer be separated as they are now, but will be merged. Believers will therefore continue to be in heaven as they continue to live on the new earth. And I think that absolutely matches up with some of the other things we read about in, for example, Romans 8, verses 22 through 25, talks about heaven on earth. And I think that's a wonderful thing. We're not just going to be playing harps on clouds and be kind of in some ethereal state. We are going to have resurrected bodies, which are fitted to live on the resurrected earth. So Romans 8, verse 22, for we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in pains of childbirth until now, and not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now, hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. So that's talking about our resurrection bodies, which are going to be fitted for the new earth. He talks about the creation in verse 19 of Romans 8, waiting with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. Okay, the revealing, that's our glorified bodies. That's what he's talking about later in the chapter. So we're going to be revealed. And then verse 20 says, for creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. In other words, you and I are going to be raised from the dead. When we die, when Jesus comes, we will be raised and our body will be reconstituted and glorified and reunited with our spirit, that we will be in a glorified form fitted for the new heavens and the new earth. I think that's what we're talking about. And Martin Lloyd-Jones says, heaven on earth, that's where we will spend our eternity. God's plan of redemption is not complete until there is an earth for man to live in and on in the body. Yes, our bodies are tainted with sin right now. They need to be changed. They need to be resurrected and transformed. But they will be resurrected just like Jesus was resurrected, and we will be fitted for heaven together. That is great. And that gives us hope. And that, as we think about heaven, we're given comfort. We're recognizing an eternal perspective on this world. The burdens of this life aren't even worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed in us, through us, to us. That's also Romans 8. So we also seek to live in a purified way, knowing we're going to the ultimate purified place. That's fantastic. Those are ways we can do God's word and not just hear it. So that is wonderful. So as your heart is full of heaven, we sometimes ask you, if you wouldn't mind giving us a rating or review. But you know what? I listen to podcasts, and sometimes those words just bounce right off of me. I don't know if they just bounce off of you as well. Maybe you go and do ratings and reviews every time the host asks for that. But I'm gonna do something a little bit different for you. I'm gonna send you to Spotify, right? If you're part of that community on Spotify, which a lot of you are, and some of you are listening to this podcast on Spotify, and just do your rating, okay? And I'm gonna give you something back. Okay, what I'm going to tell you about is Steve Green's album that was recently released at the end of 2025 called Ocean of Hope. Now, Steve Green, he was great back in the 80s and early 90s. And I think a lot of us older folks really appreciated his songs, very God-centered, and he has a glorious voice. Well, Steve's still going, and he just made a new album. And the reason I'm telling you about it is because if you're young enough to use Spotify, you probably don't know who Steve Green is, and you are going to thank me. So you go ahead and do that review for me. I'm helping you out. You listen to this album. It's like modern songs put to music. It's so good. Anyway, we are so thankful for your listening in today. It's a joy to spend time with you thinking about these pictures of heaven. And I want to encourage you not just to be a hearer of God's word, but to go and do God's word.
This has been Integrated from Dr. John Krantz, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Integrated with Dr. John Krantz, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.